Looking for a romantic opera to get you in the mood for Valentine's Day? Knoxville Opera is presenting Puccini's popular and breathtaking opera, La Bohème, Friday, February 10th at 7:30 and Sunday, February 12th at 2:30. Performances will be held as usual in the magnificent Tennessee Theater and will be sung in Italian with projected English translations. And here to talk with me today about this production is soprano Julia Lima, who is singing the role of Musetta, and baritone Craig Verm, who is singing the role of Marcello. Welcome to you both. Thank you for visiting us here at WUOT.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much.
Many of us are familiar with La Bohème, but for those who aren't, I wonder if you could give us a synopsis of the story and tell us a little bit about your characters as well, whoever wants to take a stab at it.
Sure, I will. Great. So Bohème is your classic love story. It begins with four raucous guys. So it's kind of like a frat house apartment, and they're all starving artists. You have a painter and a writer and a musician and a philosopher. Mm-hmm. And suddenly a woman comes into the scene. It's Mimi, and she falls in love with Rodolfo. She stumbles into the attic apartment, and a love story ensues very quickly, but very emotional and very real. And then you have the love story between Marcello and Musetta, which you begin to see in Act Two. It's an on-again, off-again relationship, very hot and also very cold. They fight a lot. It's either on or off, mm-hmm. very much one of the two. But unfortunately, there's a tragic story of illness with tuberculosis. So the plot explores just a wide variety of human emotions of both emotional, romantic love and also very physical love. But then also there's comedy and brotherhood, but then also just intense tragedy at the end.
And which one is Marcello? Are you the painter?
I'm the painter.
Okay.
And in this production, it's been suggested by our wonderful director, Brian Diedrich, that perhaps Marcello isn't a very good painter, and because he's a starving artist for good reason. He's not very good. And I hadn't thought about Marcello in that light before. Yeah. And the very first thing that you see in the opera is Marcello trying to paint the scene of Moses crossing the Red Sea. And he's frustrated about how it's going. And so he says, well, I'm just going to drown the Pharaoh in a sea of red.
And Julia, you are singing the role of Musetta.
Yes, I'm a Musetta. She is the most naughty person in the whole opera. So that's why I was hired, I guess. No jokes. So yeah, Musetta is actually amazing, amazing character. I love her so much. She's one of my favorite character I ever performed because, as we talked today before, she's very honest person. She's probably the most honest person in the whole opera because she does exactly what she wants to do. And she's very honest. Sometimes her wish is not really noble, you know. Sometimes she just wants a luxury life and she goes for sugar daddy. You know, it's not really sweet, but she's honest with herself. Mm-hmm. Or when her heart wants love, she goes for Marcello. So she's honest as well. She can break up with her sugar daddy and follow her heart. So for me, this is a sign of being a very honest person. And I think she has very good heart, very big heart, by the way. She cares of others. In the last scene, we can see like she can sacrifice something for dying Mimi. And it's mm-hmm. very, very lovely moment.
Many familiar arias are from this opera. Could you name a few of those?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine is Waltz of Musetta. It's one of mm-hmm. the most famous, I guess. I mean, I honestly perform at every concert I sing. Mm-hmm. Quando men void. It's mm-hmm. the most famous piece in one of my favorite. You can hear it on TV, on commercial, everywhere, mm-hmm. because it's such a lovely piece, short, bright, and, I mean, easy to remember, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Memorable melody. Memorable
sure. Puccini yeah. melodies.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And how about you?
Marcello actually doesn't get an aria. He's the only main character that doesn't get an aria.
I don't think I realized that.
Right, he gets, I think he gets all the best lines.
Yeah.
He has a lot of great one-liners, and it's a blast to sing the role. And I have a fantastic duet with Mimi at the beginning of Act Three, which turns into a duet with Rodolfo, and then a wonderful duet with Rodolfo again at the beginning of Act Four. Mm-hmm. So I'm not lacking any beautiful music. I'm on stage quite a bit.
Puccini's opera has inspired several other interpretations of the same story, including the Broadway musical Rent mm-hmm. and Baz Luhrmann's La Bohème on Broadway. Mm-hmm. What is it about this story that appeals to so many, that inspires other interpretations and makes it so popular with audiences?
Well, it's real. It is. I think the part of the stereotype about opera that we're trying to defeat is that opera really can tell a real human story. It's the most complete art form in that we have incredible theater, and we actually do act. We actually move around and jump around and have a lot of fun and portray emotion through our bodies and through language, which actually audiences can now understand, even though we're singing Italian. There is translation projected above the stage, so you can follow along. And there's no better composer, in my opinion, than Puccini to appeal to anyone. Mm-hmm. No matter what your experience with opera is, you will love La Boheme. It will grab you. The melodies soar and are memorable, and you laugh and you cry. It's perfect theater.
Knoxville Opera's production is directed by Brian Dietrich, who was here just a few months ago directing Pirates of Penzance. Is his vision with this opera traditional, or is he taking a more creative or unique approach?
We should keep some mystery about this, right? But I would say he definitely add a lot of spiciness there. Mm-hmm. For example, my character, Musetta, he says here a little bit different from I was thinking before or I performed before with other directors.
But he's not a concept director. He's not trying to retell the story or put the opera in on the moon or something. Uh-huh. You know, it is set where it should be set, in the time period that it should be set. And so Brian Dietrich tells the story beautifully, and he also does a beautiful job at getting more into the heart of each character and helping us as actors realize maybe there's something more to this character or something that you hadn't thought about, and that a really good director helps the artist dig into those things and discover those things and make those things come alive for the audience. If somebody has seen Boheme dozens of times, we want there to be something fresh.
Mm-hmm. Craig, this is your first time performing with Knoxville Opera. Let's get to know you a little bit. Where did you grow up and how did you begin singing?
I grew up in Houston. I've spent the past 12 years, however, in Pittsburgh, which has been kind of a lot of the formative years of my operatic career. I actually just moved back to Houston because my wife is an opera pianist and coach, and she just got a job at Rice University, which is where I did my undergraduate studies. I'm no stranger to Tennessee. I've performed with the Nashville Opera a couple times. Actually, last opera I did with them was Boheme.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I love Tennessee. It's beautiful. I have family just over the mountains in Asheville, and they're coming to see it. And so I love the mountains and the people and this company.
So what drew you to singing?
What drew me to singing? Well, opera kind of chooses you.
I've heard that.
Yes, I'm sure you have. That. A lot of it comes down to the structure of your skull, the resonant cavities in your skull, and there's obviously other attributes behind it there, but if you can't project on stage without a microphone, you can't be an opera singer. Mm-hmm. You have to cut through an orchestra. A lot of audience members don't realize that. It is completely an acoustic art form, and that we don't use microphones. So there has to be that component, but of course that's only half the battle. I grew up surrounded by classical music, but not around musicians. And a very common story with opera singers is that if you're in a high school or church choir, that your director notices a talent and says, hey, you've got something, and I'm gonna put you with a voice teacher. And that's what happened with me. And then that voice teacher said, you realize you could make a living doing this? And you're like, what? No. And of course, that was my parents' response as well. No, that's a terrible idea. But they're now my biggest fans. And I'm thankful every single day that I get to share this art form with the world and that it is my living. It's an honor and a privilege.
You mentioned that you have sung the role of Marcello before. How many times have you performed this role?
My third Marcello.
Okay.
I've also sung Schaunard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've gotten to see it from different viewpoints, which is fun.
What is your favorite role to sing?
My favorite role to sing? Well, it's usually the role that I'm currently doing. I get to sing a lot of fun roles. And so right now, my favorite is Marcello, of course.
I did a little Google search about you and discovered that you were awarded the title of Barry Hunk. How does one become a Barry Hunk?
Yes, I guess no press is bad press. Opera has now become more of a visual art form. There's more emphasis put on that because we're a more visual society and we're breaking stereotypes of opera being someone just standing in one place and really what we call in the industry park and bark. And that's very much not the case now because audiences now, with the incredible quality of TV and movies that we have, audiences can sniff out bad acting instantly. And it's a big challenge for opera singers because we may only be able to deliver 10 words over a span of 15 or 20 seconds, which mm-hmm. then how do you translate that into actions and movement that doesn't seem stilted? And so that is a challenge for us, but still in good opera that you can still really deliver emotional punch and subtext. But in terms of Bera Hunks, that's been very good for a lot of men's careers. There's a lawyer out in Michael Colbruno runs this blog called Bera Hunks out in San Francisco. He's a wonderful supporter of the arts, and he has brought to the attention of many, many audiences the physical attractiveness of many opera singers. And so I'm grateful that there's been some attention there. But there's a struggle there, because for a lot of my career, I focused a lot on hitting the gym all the time and always working out. And then, you know, I would arrive at a gig and they would say, "Hey, our bear hunk has arrived." And I was like, wow, am I just known for being a bear hunk, or am I also hired for my voice? And I want to be here. You know, the primary thing is the beauty of the instrument and the singing. And so I really try to focus hard on that.
Julia, this is not your first time performing with Knoxville Opera. This is my third
official time, yeah.
What are the other operas you have
performed? Last year we did Mephistopheles, which was great. I was performing, you know, absolutely different role. It was dramatic, very dramatic role. I was playing a mad woman that killed her child. So that's definitely very opposite from the flirting and, you know, bad girl Musetta.
And you were in Fledermaus before that, I believe?
Yes, yes. And I was a Rosalinda.
For those listeners who are not familiar with you or your story, tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you fell into singing.
Well, I was born and raised in Russia, Siberia, very cold part. Yeah, full of vodka and I'm kidding, just vodka. So I was a gymnast all my life. It was my professional career, but then, because of many, many broken bones in my body, I just suddenly turned my interest toward music. And I always liked singing, actually. And I guess that when I was like 13 or something, neighbors started complain to my mom. They said, "Hey, why don't you bring your daughter to the like music studio? We have it here in our town," or something, because she really bothered us with her loud singing. Maybe she's wasting her talent. And so I become a soloist of the local music studio, and I won a grand prize for the like local voice competition. Suddenly, and very likely, the sponsor of the competition, they gave me a sponsorship, like scholarship, in a famous musical college in Moscow. So that's how I moved to Moscow and started being opera singer. I had great coaches there, great voice teachers, and I won a few All-Russians and international competitions, or some prizes of those. And MTV, I was a host for a few TV shows in Russia, and was part of a few foreign movies, and of course sing opera. So
do you have a favorite role to perform?
I would say like this: every role I do, it become my favorite, because at this moment I'm into this and I really live in this role. I live in this skin, you know. That's my favorite, you know. If I do Traviata, which I love a lot, and it's like I'm really live there. If I do Musetta, I live there. If I do Margarita, I live there. Even they're absolutely different people, characters. I don't have a favorite role. I love them all at the moment when I'm into this.
I read that you recently released a crossover album.
Yes, a crossover and a classical album as well.
Could you tell us a little bit about those?
Well, yes, it was an idea which I had a long time ago already, because as I mentioned before, that I was a lot on TV in this reality show. So I perform a lot with the mic. Some opera people would say it's not really cool because, you know, opera singers supposed to sing without mic. And for me, my dream is, like we said before, very many people think the opera is boring. It's not like such a, like, you know, modern part of art. But I would try with my crossover albums, with my TV shows and everything I do, show the people how much fun can it be. Mm-hmm. It's not boring. It's acting. It's real. It's life. It's alive. It's amazing. Just if you can represent it kind of in a different way, a little bit more available, more understandable for the modern time, you know, so people can understand it, they can get it. I've heard so many people just after the concert or TV show, they say, you know what, I've never been in opera. I'm like 40 years old, but I will go. Now I'll go. I'm like, yes, that's
fantastic.
It.
Yes,
that's
you've achieved your goal. Julia and Greg, thank you so much for chatting with me today, and best of luck on La Boheme.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting.
Once again, I've been speaking with soprano Julia Lima and baritone Craig Verm, artists from Knoxville Opera's production of Puccini's La Boheme. Performances are Friday, February 10th at 7:30 and Sunday, February 12th at 2:30, and as usual will be held in the magnificent Tennessee Theater. More information is available online at knoxvilleopera.com or by phone at 524-0795.